Greetings to each of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. The Spirit was at work this morning as the message was being brought together, as the service was being brought together. I felt, too, that correlation between the songs and what was shared in our devotions. The last song we sang, even though we sang it in Spanish, talked about going from darkness to the light of Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. And I want to talk a little bit about that thought process this morning as well. In fact, I contemplated using John 8 as my text this morning, but the Spirit did not develop that in me. He developed that in Brother Luke instead. So this morning we're going to be looking at Romans 6. And while you turn there, I'm going to give you just a little bit of an allegory to see if I can get our hearts in pulse with what this freedom really is. My mind went to children when they play a game of hide and seek. But in the game of life, this is usually adults. So the game is being set up. A base needs to be established. A cross is set up for the base. And then there's it. And in this world, it is Diablo, or Spanish for devil. The devil is it. He's looking for whom he may devour. And there's a count from 1 to 50 or whatever it is, and everybody scrambles and goes and finds their places of hiding. This is a game. But as you're hiding there, the count's done, and Diablo is coming around to see who he can devour. He finds many, and they're called out. They're pulled out. They're trapped. He walks very close to where you are, and you can just feel your heart pounding. Am I going to be caught? But not this time. He does his game well at guarding his prisoners, watching his base. But you see your chance, and you go running, and you go tagging that cross, and you holler, "Free! I'm free!" And that's only a little picture of what life is. That's a very little picture of what life is. But freedom, the devil would like to define it one way. But freedom is really something totally different from what the world makes it to be. And I think Brother Luke gave us a very good introduction to that. Freedom is not something external. Freedom is not having a nation ruling over our nation. Freedom is not even being able to do whatever I want to do. Because so many times, that very thing leads us into bondage. I do what I think feels good at the moment, and it becomes bondage to me. I have to think, you know, as we go about our lives, we are quite familiar with locks. So many times, it's just second nature. We turn a key in the ignition of the car. Why do we use a key in that ignition, and not just a button on the dash? It's to secure that car. We park the car, we lock the door. We're trying to secure that car. We're trying to keep it for me. I go into my house at night. I had to check 4 locks before I went to bed last night. Why? I'm trying to keep myself free from the entanglements of whoever might want to intrude. I as we look at our spiritual lives, freedom is a whole lot more than guarding my rights, my things. It's a whole lot more than that. I want to look at Romans 6 for some of the answers to what freedom is. My points this morning, most of them take the form of a question, and then we're going to look for the answer in this passage. Romans 6, we're going to read verses 1 to 3. The first point is free from what? What are we free from? Romans 6, verses 1 to 3. Romanos 6, versículo 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I forgot to give the background of this. Romans, you almost have to read the whole book to be able to look at something and not be out of context. But the background on Romans 5 is a discussion on how Adam sinned, and so all were introduced to sin. Sin came into the world, and now we all are under sin. But Romans 5 doesn't stop there. It talks about how Jesus came into the world. He lived his sinless life, and he died on the cross that we can be free from that sin. And it talks about how one man failed, sin came into the world. One man redeemed the world. Praise God that Jesus is in the redeeming business. If it weren't for him, we couldn't be talking about this message that we're going to be looking at this morning. So what are we free from? Well, right here, verse 2 says, in answer to the question of continuing in sin, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are free from living in sin. It says, by the work of God, his grace, we are dead to sin and no longer live therein. We look at this idea of sin, and it's not a pleasant one. It is not a pleasant one. Sin is anything that takes us away from God. What takes us away from God? Well, praise the Lord, he gave us this book here to chart us a course that takes us to God. So as we live our lives, God has made the provision that we can be free from living in sin. Back in that game, when we look at a natural game of hide and seek, it's a battle of wits. Not everybody has the option of being free. But it's different here. With Jesus, the provision is there, and everyone has the option of being free. Is everyone free? No. Not everyone is free. Because it comes right back here. We need to be dead to sin and not live any longer therein. Okay, I think we're going to go on to the next point. How were we freed? And I'm going to read verses 4 to 11. Versículos 4 a 11. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How were we freed? We were freed by the baptism into the death of Christ. When we think of baptism, we think of something coming down over us. Christ's death has reached us. Even though it was 2,000 years ago, Christ's death is for you and for me. It is hard to get our minds around what Christ really did in dying on the cross. But Christ came and offered the sacrifice that could take our sins away. Until then, there were animal sacrifices being offered, but they did not take the sin away. They covered the sin. It appeased the problem for a year until the next sacrifice was due. But with Christ, our sin can be taken away. Sin brings guilt. You know, as long as we have that guilt and condemnation on our lives, we are not free. We are in bondage. Watch the people around you. They are trying to express a freedom that they're grappling for and cannot find. I was on the subway yesterday for a bit, and it's just interesting to see who walks through there. Some of the people were trying to find freedom by modeling themselves after actors. Those actors, to them, seem to have everything that they want. They have popularity, they have money, they have fame. And so they try to model themselves after those actors. But in doing so, you know, some of those people were bound to the point where you almost couldn't see them. Tattoos, rings. Just, they had to wear a certain dress style. They had to dress a certain way. They were inwardly compelled to do that by the bondage that they're living in. In their search for freedom, they were expressing bondage. Okay. To what were we freed? And we're also finding that in these same verses, it says here, which verse did I want to see here? Verse 4, the end of verse 4. It talks about us being buried with baptism into death. It says, just as Christ died, we are buried with his baptism into death. But then the end of the verse says, just as he rose, we should also walk with him in newness of life. People, that's freedom. That's freedom. New life in Christ. That is freedom. When you have come to that cross, the gift is being offered. But not everybody comes to that cross. We go back to that hide-and-seek game. Some people step out and get distracted on the way. Some don't even bother with it because they want to do what they are doing. But others put forth all the effort they have and make it to that cross. And the gift is there for them. Freedom. The gift of freedom is there for them. And I hope that is the experience of each of you. If not, my encouragement to you is exert yourself. Reach that cross. Give it all you got. Because there's freedom. There is freedom. A song that I used to like to sing, I still do like to sing it, not just used to. I don't know how many of you know it, but I'm going to read the stanzas of the song. It goes like this. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his saving power. And then verse 2, the testimony. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor, wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame, I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name. And the chorus, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. And brothers and sisters, that's my testimony this morning. That's why I like to sing that song. Verse 2 especially, like a bird out of prison. If you would have asked me a day after I had that experience of coming to the foot of the cross and just laying my life into the hands of Jesus, what it was like, that right there would have been my testimony. A bird out of prison. A bird that was locked up in a cage. And it was left go. Now it can fly. It can fly high. It can experience the skies. It can experience the outside air. That's freedom. That's freedom. We were freed to newness of life. Verse 6 introduces the next thought. The question I have is, what now? What now? I've been freed. I've claimed Christ's provision. What now? Verse 6 says, I'm just going to read it again. I don't think I can say it any more powerfully than the Bible itself says it. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Prior, we were servants to sin. We were enslaved to the things that sin demanded. Verse 6 says, henceforth we should not serve sin. We are no longer servants of sin. With freedom in Christ, we are no longer servants of sin. What now? Let's go ahead and read verses 12 to 16 for some more on this subject. Actually, before we do that, another thought I wanted to bring up in this passage that we read already. Verse 11 talks about reckoning yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto Christ. The idea of reckon. Sometimes we talk about a day of reckoning. It's a day of giving account. A day of deciding, of looking at what we've done. A day of looking at what the pay will be. It's kind of like taking an inventory in a store. Most places of business, retail establishments that have an inventory, will at a minimum of once a year count that inventory. The computer says we have this. Do we have this? What do we have? What's missing? Why is it missing? Where did it go? We need to reckon in our lives. Is this sin that will drag me down? Or is this what Christ is holding out that will lift me up, that will build me up, that will give me freedom in Him? Reckoning. You know, it's something we do daily in our lives. More than daily. By the hour. By the minute. Right now, you have to decide. You have to reckon. Is the truth of God's word being preached? Reckoning. Okay, we're going to read verses 12 to 16 to answer the question of to what were we freed? Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. This is the part that people do not like to hear. We are freed to be servants to Christ. Christ gave us that free gift. Our response needs to be a servant to Christ. Life is servitude. No matter where you go, there is service that you need to do. If you want food, you work for your food. If you're too lazy to work for your food, you go out and you beg for your food. But you're going to do something. You're going to do something to get food. Our bodies demand that. But let me ask you the question. Which is the master you would rather serve? Do we want to serve the devil, a master of slavery? Or do we want to choose to be slaves to Christ, a good master? It talks here of being, verse 16, you are servants of who you obey. And today, you're obeying either the whims of Satan or the will of God. You're obeying one or the other. You're a servant to one or the other. And again, I would like to say by way of testimony, being a servant to God is freedom. It's freedom. I don't have to be enslaved to that vice. That just demands me to come back again. I don't have to be enslaved to the peer pressure that says, I need to look right like this if I want to gain popularity, prestige. I don't have to be enslaved to that. I don't have to be enslaved to the illnesses that sin brings. That's not to say that a Christian will not have physical illnesses. But by the grace of God, relating to those illnesses is totally different as a Christian, and as somebody that's still heaping that on because of their habits, because of their lifestyle. Okay, what now? Again, we were freed to newness of life, to be servants of Christ. So what now? We are not freed to sin, but we are freed from sin. There is popular doctrine that says if I come to the foot of the cross and I give myself to God, that grace is there for me. Grace will cover me regardless what I do from there on. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. And we could go, I won't make a big study on that this morning, but we could go to a lot of scriptures here. But right here, verse 11, reckon that you are dead to sin, but alive unto God. Verse 12, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Again, I am reckoning. What am I going to do? Am I going to give my body unto sin? Am I going to give it unto the lusts of my flesh? Or am I going to give it to God? Am I going to give myself to God? When faced with that on a day-to-day basis, sometimes that choice is very hard. But when we look at it in an eternal perspective, if we can manage to set ourselves aside from the influences of the world, bring ourselves to God in humbleness and prayer, spend some time studying His Word, the answer is actually very clear. I want to serve God, and we'll look at that in a little bit more. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. You know, if I choose, if I reckon that I want the privileges of sin, yes, sin has some privileges, I am making myself a servant of the master of sin. If I choose to give him my little finger, I've already chosen to give him my whole body. If I choose God, if I choose to give God my hand, I keep choosing to give God my hand, I've chosen to give him my whole body. Okay, verses 17 to 20. The subject here, and this is another answer under what now, the subject here is servants of righteousness. Verse 17 reads like this, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Brothers and sisters, this morning, you made a choice to be here this morning. And I believe you made that choice because you felt the call of God on your life. Did it take work to get here? Did it take perseverance to actually come here this morning? I'm sure it did. You worked to get here. You took time out. You probably had special activities this morning getting ready. Maybe even they started last night already, activities to get you ready to come here this morning. Was there any servitude there? Yes, there was. But we can do it with rejoicing. We can do it with happiness. Because it's a privilege. It is a privilege to come here and gather together and worship God together. When I chose to serve God, did I know it would be service? Yes. Did I know what that service would entail? What the service would even, yes, demand? I did not. Looking back, do I care that I didn't? No, I don't. I made a decision to serve a master that I could trust. And I am happy. I am free serving him. By the grace of God, again, that grace, as we choose to serve him, that grace blesses our lives with power to live above sin. What now? Number one, freed from sin. Number two, servants of righteousness. It doesn't end there. Let's look at verses 21 to 23 yet. We're looking at wages. Number 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
When we look at employment, oftentimes the first question is, what will it pay? Second question is, what are the benefits? And then we start looking at, is it the kind of place I want to work? And I'm not saying we got our priorities right when we do it this way, but that is what we tend to do. What influence will it have on me? I do think that's a little bit out of order as far as what priorities should be, but that is where our thoughts go. Brothers and sisters, this morning, these verses here talk about wages of sin. It doesn't even talk about wages for the Christian. Did you notice that? It does not talk about wages for the Christian. It's because we cannot earn it. We cannot earn it. It talks about a gift for the Christians. And that is so much better. That is so much better. We want to serve. And the gift that comes back is huge. Are we serving for the gift? It is one of the benefits. And I don't think it's wrong to keep that gift in mind. But let's also remember to serve because of the Master. The God we're serving, the Jesus that came down and freed us from sin and gave us freedom, freed us from bondage. It does talk about fruit for both the wages of sin and walk of life. I bit into a piece of fruit earlier this week. It looked good. But I bit into it, it was still a little green. And it was kind of sweet at first, but it ended with a bitter taste. Isn't that what the fruit of sin is like? It looks so good. And yes, it does taste sweet at first, but the end is bitter. The end is bitter. But that wasn't the only piece of fruit I bit into this week. I had some fruit that, yes, looked good. And I bit into it, and what was inside was good. The kind that makes you want another one, and another one, and another one. And that's what I want to hold out to you this morning. True freedom is a heart. that does not know the sting of sin because it's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. True freedom is a heart that is not bound to do things, to earn favor, to earn popularity, to earn riches. True freedom is the heart that has come to the foot of the cross and experienced the cleansing that only Jesus can offer, and has lost that condemnation that sin brings, because Jesus paid the debt. Jesus paid it. And now it offers us to be able to go forth day after day without that condemnation. Not only that, it offers us the grace and power to continue in a course that will just make that freedom grow. And there's a lot of earthly analogies that we could give. But you know, in this season where freedom is being celebrated, there's fireworks. There will be more fireworks. There's parties. There will be more parties. Remember that the real freedom, the freedom that counts, is not freedom from the country overseas, but freedom from sin. And I want to leave that with you this morning. Are you free? You can be free. If you're free, praise God. If you're not free, you can be free. Grace is sufficient for all. It's sufficient for me and you. It is sufficient for the world, those that are ignoring it. But they need to come, each one needs to come to the foot of the cross and accept Jesus as Lord and director of our lives if we want to know that freedom. God bless you. Thank you for your attention. And let's kneel for prayer.